You're listening to Ship to Shore Radio. Radio.
I am officially retiring from the NFL and Green Bay Packers. And
here he goes. To the 40, the 30, the 20. Touchdown, Prince.
Let me tell you what. And I make that ass drop like a sack of potatoes. What grill on the cracker later?
Freeze. In the air to center. Has it done it? Play back. High game seven. Goodbye. Home run. An unbelievable win for the St. Louis Cardinals.
And the gas tank. I'm almost at the finish line, so I can't stop now. I don't really know where I'm headed.
That's right, everybody. It's a new show. It's going to be once a year. It's the 2011 Sports Wrap-Up show, and this is the Zen Man reporting live, 9 o'clock. The fireworks out there. Got about 3 hours till the New Year's kicks off. And, you know, it's just a great year in sports. What can I say? I mean, every year is, if you're a sports fan. You know, there's good, there's bad, but, you know, the more you experience the bad, the more the good really shines. And, my teams, well, the Heat obviously had a good year. Obviously, they had their... you know, their failure, but it's making up for it now. You know, it's making me more determined to enjoy the Heat this year. I would anyways, but I'm so hungry right now to win games and whatnot. And this show is going to go on for an hour. I have your top 10 plays, top 11 plays, actually, for the NFL season this year. A couple plays that I thought were memorable, and just going to talk a lot. And hopefully I have some guests, and it seems like I do have a guest on the line. Hello, caller.
Hello?
Yes, who is this?
This is Jimmy.
Hey, Jimmy, what's going on, man? You're reporting live with the Zen Man. Yeah, man, it's got an hour to talk about. This show is just all about sports in 2011, man. Just got a lot to talk about. I have some good plays on today. But can you just say at the top of your head just some good memories that you could think of that's, you know, you could say was definitely a good part of, you know, there's bad parts of 2011. There's a couple lockouts, but they all ended and we're all enjoying sports. Can you say some good things possibly that you remember about 2011?
Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year to you, man. You got about 3 hours till ball drops in New York City. Well, first, let me ask you a question. What are you doing for this New Year's today, Jimmy?
I'm about to take a shower. Then I'm probably going to go over to a friend's house. Drink a couple bottles of champagne. They probably just watch the ball drop on the television. A couple friends. Pretty laid back night.
Pretty laid back. I honestly just kind of got caught up with work and everything. My sister's gone, so I'm here alone. But just wanted to have a radio show, talk about sports, and drink a little bit, not get too crazy. It's just another day, but definitely watch the ball drop. But I believe you are a Magic fan. At least you got kind of a wish. You know, you thought D. Howard wasn't going to be there this year, but looks like he is, and he's playing pretty good last year. I had some doubts, honestly, watching you guys, but you do have the best center by far in the league. What about his 48 rebounds in the last two games?
Yeah, man, pretty impressive stat to go into the new year. Hoping
sure
that we end 2012 with him in an Orlando uniform also.
True that, man. All right, let me ask you a simple question. In the NFL, a lot of good plays. Obviously, I have my top 11 plays, in a little bit. What are some good, memorable plays that you could think of just that you think maybe were the best plays of 2011?
I'd probably go 90 Bengal wide receivers front flip into the end zone.
Yeah, that was last
week, huh?
Yeah, man, I can't agree with you more on that one. Just this is a crazy, crazy play. I have that definitely on my 11 plays coming up pretty soon. Yeah, man, how does he do that? Like, I mean, does he play? He doesn't plan on it. Well, how about this?
And to have that kind of foot quickness and that good vision.
And the other thing he is durable. He has averaged more carries per game than any back in the NFL over the last 3.5 years. Wide open, and a flick into the end zone by Jerome Simpson. Oh, goodness.
Yeah, that was the flip that he was talking about. Looks like we lost Jimmy, though. Hopefully he calls back in. But good to hear from him. He does work a lot, so it's a good thing he's got the day off. I work today as well, 12 to 6. You know, I'm in Miami full-time. You know, I am the host of the Southernmost Sports Rap and Southernmost NFL pregame show in Southernmost. I am down in South Florida. And, you know, I normally would like to go down to the Keys where my parents are, but have to work tomorrow. So just seems 6 hours of driving to make it back to work just kind of seems a little out of the way. But all is good. And, yeah, man, that was a great play. Just thought I'd bring it up as you were talking about it. But let's start off with what, you know, what did 2011 start off with, and that was the NBA. And the NBA was kind of halfway into the season. And how did the NBA go this year? Honestly, it started back up just about a week ago, Christmas Day, for 2012 season. It was supposed to start a little bit earlier, but of a lockout. We'll get back into that later. But, what you know, January last this year, actually, yeah, the Heat were kind of a new team. You look at their players, and they played great. I think they were 5-4 in the first 8 or 9 games, and they had a 20-game win streak. It was crazy. And they had a great year. But the best team in the East was not the Heat. It came down actually to the last game just to even get the second spot. But it does seem like we do have a caller. Hello, caller.
I'm your caller.
What's up, man? I believe this
almost
is Brandon.
Like I'm your Huckleberry. I'm your Huckleberry, man.
What's up, man? I heard you were drinking a little bit.
What?
Yeah, man. I was just having basically having an hour-long show just about recapping all the sports that happened this year. I have my top 11 plays coming up pretty soon of the NFL, and I have some memorable plays. What kind of just stands out in your mind as you just – what's the first thing that pops in your head when you're thinking about all the sports that happened this year that made you feel good?
I mean, I really thought the 8th and 9th inning of the World Series Game 6 was my favorite moment of this entire year, like beyond belief. And I was with you that night, too.
That bring back any memories, man?
That was the bottom of the 10th, man. That was my favorite, but his whole from 8th to 10th was just ridiculous. That was the greatest baseball game ever played in the entire history of America. I've never watched any Japanese game or Cuban game, but as far as the greatest fucking game ever was that one. It was just most amazing because you had no idea what was going to happen. And it happened the way it's supposed to.
Well, I can definitely say, thinking back at the best memories of sports, I mean, I go back to the Heat when they won their championship. I was in Mexico, and I celebrated. I just tackled my dad. I'll never forget that. But I honestly put this up there with that. I mean, I had a sports show, and it had to just be all kind of – I knew that if they lost that game, which I thought they were going to, and that was –
I'm sorry,
the
Heat
show,
won the championship, buddy. I think the Mavericks won the championship.
2006.
Oh, for all time. I thought you were talking about 2011.
Yeah. I was just kind of putting this memory kind of up. That's how much it meant to me as well. Like, I was just,
right.
I was doing my radio
show.
Even
though you weren't for either team, really. But, I mean, they're not your teams, but it was just the most amazing game in the history of baseball.
That,
as far as baseball
goes,
I would say that's the most amazing game I've ever seen.
Well, the fact that, I mean, if we had money on it, obviously, that kind of pumped up the experience a little bit more.
$10 or something? It was pretty amazing anyway.
No,
I don't even care about it.
Dude, me and you both
had
money, man.
We had hundreds of dollars on that game. Yeah,
that
we were hugging. That's not even fucking gay or nothing, but we were hugging like we were like, that was funny times, man. That was good times.
Hell yeah, man. Even one of those innings would have been a great game, and it happened 3 straight innings. It was just fucking crazy. And I can't get enough of it, to be honest with you. I think about it all the time, and I work at a sports store, and I see people buying Cardinal stuff, and I kind of just bring it up casually and kind of get into talking about it just because it really was. And they had a thing on SportsCenter today about the MLB, and the guy was like, the best day was probably the last game, the last week, the last game of the season.
The last day of baseball was amazing, where 3 teams were coming back from beyond belief to get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
The Rays,
and
the Cardinals.
Coming back.
The Cardinals won the World Series, and they weren't even close to being in the playoffs.
9 games out, September 1st, and the Rays.
Out of the wild card.
Right, and the wild card.
Oh, my God.
You talk about the AL and the fact that in the 8th inning, the Rays are down like 7 runs, and the Red Sox were up a run, so you're thinking, okay, well, that's over. But Avalon gave up the save, and the Rays and Evan Longoria came back 7 runs in an inning. It was just insane.
It's not dumb at all. It's one of the greatest songs ever.
You've already heard 50 million people dying, dude. You haven't had a radio show. People start talking on the back.
Sorry about that. Mike Zambino.
Nah, it's all right.
Punched me in the ribs and popped my phone out of my pocket.
I told Zambino to call in, by the way. I figured he has some memorable Zambino, but he doesn't know much about sports as it is.
He doesn't know anything about sports. He came in last place in the fantasy football pool. Who came in first place in both of your pools that you put out?
Yes, I thought that was going to be your first thing you were going to say about it was, oh, man, the fantasy sports in 2011 was terrific for the Big Pine Slugs.
Big time. And how about for basketball? They're already 1-0.
Yeah, I'm playing against LeBron James, who's getting like 100 points every game, so I'm pretty much done for this week.
Yeah, he ain't nothing to compare to Kevin Love.
Yeah, he's getting more than Kevin Love, but... It's all good.
It's working on mine, man.
But
347-215-9420.
347. That's not what's in my phone.
I gave Angus the wrong number.
Oh my God.
Hey, but really quick. What are you doing this New Year's, Brandon? What are you doing until 12:00? How are you celebrating New Year's?
Me and the Pizza Boys are going over to my mom's house to celebrate.
Sounds good, man. Well, don't drink too much. You have 3 more hours to celebrate. So.
Okay, I better chill out, man. Hey,
yeah,
you got some more callers coming in right now, so I'm going to go ahead and let you go. I'll talk to you soon, right?
All right. Hey, be safe, Brandon. Enjoy it, all right?
Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year to you.
All right. Peace.
Later. That was Brandon. He used to be a former co-host of my normal show, the Southern Sports Wrap. About over a year ago until I went solo. But, yeah, I totally agree with him where he's coming from. That game, those 2 days in baseball, last game of the regular season, and the Game 6 World Series, which is crazy. And it does seem that we do have another caller on the line. Hello, caller.
Hello, host.
Yes, who's speaking with the Thin Man?
This would be Angus.
What's going on, Angus? Yes, this is the 2011 Sports Wrap-Up Show with the Thin Man. And the first thing I'm asking my callers today is, if you got to think back of a couple great memories in the 2011 sports year, what comes to mind?
Well, the Heat finishing up the first season with the big three, although the season itself was a little better than what I thought was an anticlimactic ending. That was big. And Justin Verlander winning both the Cy Young and the MVP of the American League, which is extremely rare for a pitcher to win the MVP award.
First time in like 20, 25 years since Roger Clemens, I believe, right? That did both. Something like that.
Yeah, I don't even know who the last one was, but
I believe it was Roger Clemens. Yeah, he had an outstanding year. 24 wins. And he had the best ERA. It was insane. And he had both strikeouts, too. Like 251 strikeouts or something. Just outstanding.
Could this start the season with a no-hitter?
Did he? Was that the first game?
Yeah, against Cleveland, I think.
Ah, nice. Yeah, that's a good way to start it off. No questions.
And I think he had another one, or at least one or two or three that were less than five hits.
Yeah, I can't remember. I know he had at least one no-hitter. I honestly can't remember about Justin Verlander, but I definitely know that he had one of the best statistical years of a pitcher in a long time. No question. Definitely duly noted on that one. Since I've been watching sports, at least, he's been the best pitcher performance in any year that I've seen.
Yeah, far and above, and he's not doing it with any juice.
Well, not so far. I don't know. Who knows these days? But as for now, I mean, I don't know. I usually never look at anybody guilty until something comes up, but I never thought about that with him. So I think he's good.
Right.
He's just a big guy, though. But, yeah, my last caller was talking about MLB as well and just talking about Game 6 of the World Series and also the last game in the regular season, those two meltdowns. And the two every game seemed to have such a crazy finish in that it was just so crazy how it happened. And it was those Lazy B talking about the great Game 6 with three comebacks from the Cardinals in three innings and that walk-off home run. Did you watch that game by any chance?
Yes. The Cardinals were just – it was their year, man.
Yeah, man. They almost didn't make it. They had nine games to come back on September 1st, and they had to win that last day just to get in. So, talk about skipping by. But let's talk about a lot of moves, man. Albert Pujols, obviously, the anchor. I don't think St. Louis is going to come back and win their title. Albert Pujols now joining the Angels. I think they might be the team in the AL. Yeah, it was. If I'm not mistaken, I believe the Marlins offered – Albert Pujols more money and C.J. Wilson more money, and they both decided to go to the Angels. I don't know what's up with that, Angus.
Do they have the same agent?
I really don't know. I mean, I guess they just they felt they had a better chance to win in L.A., I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it could be the new Marlins manager also. I mean, we're real excited about him, Ozzie Guillen, down here, and a lot of people are. But he's like a hot or cold type of person. You either really like him or you don't like him. And some people, maybe those players, you know, don't like that in-your-face style of managing.
Yeah, Albert definitely got to know him being his first 9 or 10 years in the AL Central, where Ozzy played a lot of coaching for the White Sox. So I'm sure he definitely got to know him a little bit. And that's a good, I mean, you got Albert Pujols playing for one of the best managers of all time, Tony La Russa. And maybe he just really didn't want to go to a crazy manager like Ozzy Guillen. It's a good theory, actually. I never thought about it that way. So good point on that. What can you say probably, how about, the Detroit, I believe you're a Detroit Lions fan. How do you feel about the Lions making their first playoff appearance?
I'm pretty excited about it. I remember, I think I called your show a while back on the other network, and it was when the Lions were 4-0. And I reiterated the story about the last time they did something like that was in, I think it was in 1990? I know it was either 80 or 90. It was a long, long time ago. And they, it was the year that another one, Bites the Dust, came out, and the Lions made a version of it back then.
Really?
Brandon!
Yeah.
Brandon! Sorry.
It's okay. Well, how about, I mean, what was it, 3 years ago when the Lions went 0-16? Not a good year for you guys.
Yeah, they were just like that a couple of years ago, and now they're in the playoffs for the first time in ages. And I'm hoping that they can beat the Packers. I think the Packers are playing their backup quarterbacks tomorrow.
Yeah.
But, and it, for them, that's probably the best thing to do, so that if something did happen to Aaron Rodgers in the playoff games, at least these guys, you know, have a couple of snaps under their belt.
Well, ESPN was saying that they were saying that they should play a good game with Aaron Rodgers. I didn't expect that, but that's what they said, because they didn't want a two-game lag of Aaron Rodgers not playing with having the bye week and then coming in kind of cold. So I don't know what's going to happen. I did think the Lions would win. They've looked impressive. And honestly, even if Aaron Rodgers doesn't play, he's going to play. The Packers are going to play so-so, and I think the Lions are going to really want to win this game, because they still have to keep that fifth seed. So I think they want to win so they can play the Giants or the Cowboys instead of the Saints in the first round. So I still think the Lions are going to win. But good season overall for you guys. Matthew Stafford did not make the Pro Bowl, but the Super Bowl quarterback, which could be Breeze or Rodgers, is not going to play in the Pro Bowl. So Stafford will be in the Pro Bowl this year. So that'll be a good effort for him. Calvin Johnson also.
I already did the damn boxes. Yeah, the boys over here are getting out of hand a little bit.
Yeah, I would assume that there's a few alcohol shots being taken at the slice.
That's my
theory.
Yeah, when I was yelling Brandon a couple of minutes ago, I'll tell you the story of that off the air. You'll find it humorous, what was occurring. But
yes, it's never a dull moment with the Slice of Paradise crew down at Sugarloaf,
right?
Down at Summerloaf. So I always love to hear stories. But just real quick before I get you off the air, so what are your plans for tonight? How are you going to celebrate the New Year's?
Well, Brandon, his mother is having a party, and I guess quite a few of us are going to be heading over there, but I'm only going for a short stay because I want to get downtown.
Good idea. Find some fireworks, maybe.
Right. Well, you know, they got the conch dropping at the, Sloppy Joe's. And
do they?
And then at the, is it the 801 Club or the Aqua, where they have the guy in the shoe dropping?
I don't know. You would know more about that. I'm not calling you homosexual. I'm calling you a fan of Duval Street, so you probably would know more than I would about that.
And then I think something goes on at the Green Parrot also, where they do something.
Well, I'm sure you're going to enjoy it either way, Angus. And I wish you a happy New Year's. And I hope the sports world in 2012 brings you as much joy. And I think it will, because of the Miami Heat, already 4-0 this year. And I'm not counting it in. But, you know,
the Timberwolves last night.
2 points. They killed them.
Was it two or one?
It was 2 points.
I thought it was one.
No, it was 1 point against the Charlotte Bobcats, and it was 2 points last night. It was tied up, and we had an alley-oop layup for the 2-point win.
It was Timberwolves, so, you know, I have to say things like that.
It's okay. Well, I'm going to let you go, Angus. I got about 35 minutes left, and thanks for calling in, and have a happy and safe New Year's.
You too. Happy New Year's in, man. Peace out.
Thank you, Angus. Thanks, Angus. Yeah, there's a lot of talk about MLB, surprisingly. It's crazy. I just keep on going to how crazy that year was. And, you know, people would be calling and talking about football, but you know what? That's baseball was just crazy itself. But, yes, you know, 2011, it brought two lockouts. It brought one team their first NBA championship. It brought a meta world peace. It brought a 1984 passing record that got broken this year. And, you know, I was talking about the NBA and how did the season end last year in the NBA. Well, let's talk about the standings. In the East, you thought Miami might have gotten it, but they barely got the second. The Chicago Bulls had the best record in the NBA with Derrick Rose, who ended up being the MVP, 62-20 for the Bulls. Miami finished at second with 58-24. Boston, 56-26. And Orlando at 52-30. The rest of the East really was pretty weak this year. You had a team like Indiana, who was 8 games below 500 and making it in the playoffs. So very strange. In the West, San Antonio actually had the best year for the West, 61-21. L.A., 57-25. Dallas, 57-25. Oklahoma City at 55-27. Denver actually lost to Carmelo Anthony this year and was 50-32. Portland, 48-34. New Orleans, 46-36. And Memphis, 46-36. Just to go to show you how bad the East was compared to the West, Utah was, if you had standings all the way to the end, they would have technically been the 11th seed in the West, and they would have actually made the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. So just to go to show you why some of the teams in the East were a little beefed up. And what happened? The playoffs started. But what happened in the regular season? The points per game leader was Kevin Durant, 27.7 points per game. Rebound leader was Kevin Love, 15.2 rebounds per game. And the assist per game leader was Steve Nash with 11.4 assists per game. MVP, like I said, Derrick Rose. And rookie of the year, Blake Griffin, who had an amazing year last year. So that was good. Playoffs happened. The Heat, obviously, were on top of my mind. They did pretty good, honestly. Even they sort of cruised. No, they first they passed the Celtics in the second round and ended up playing the Bulls in the Eastern Conference Championship. Let's talk about who they had to go through first, though. That was Philadelphia. And even then brought a little challenge, but the Heat got past them pretty quickly. The Celtics are probably the biggest threat that we had. They're an old team, but they really well coached. But we got through them, and we got through the Bulls, and we thought they were going to go and win the championship playing the Dallas Mavericks. And Dallas turned it on. I went to one of the games at home. Miami actually had home field advantage, and I believe it was game two I went to. The Heat could have gone up 2-0, but they didn't. Mavericks came back from about 10 points down with a few minutes left. And that might have been the turning point of the series. And it was all Dallas from then on out. And, yeah.
And the Heat will not foul. Sean Marion dribbles it out. And the celebration will begin. The Dallas Mavericks are NBA champions. The first title in franchise history. The emotions of Dirk Nowitzki, what he's always dreamed of, hoping to have another chance after the bitter loss in 2006. An unlikely playoff run capped off by Dallas upsetting LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and the favorite Miami Heat.
Yeah, it wasn't Miami. Not only, I mean, there's other teams that got big players. Miami got big players. They had an amazing year. I know you kind of just off the top of your head think, okay, the dynasty starts now. But obviously, you have to play together for a while and really, you know, develop a team. And they did it quickly. And the way they kind of ran through the East, maybe it kind of just shows you how good the West really was. And, you know, record-wise, I think, you know, we were second seed, they were third seed. We had a better record, but it just Dallas just really played good. And you know what? I don't like to lose, but if I had to choose a team to lose against, I guess I would choose them, the Mavericks, because, you know, we beat them in 06. And Dirk Nowitzki, and a lot of the players on that team really deserve a championship. And it's good to see Dirk get one. Mark Cuban has been trying really hard to get a championship there. So it's all good. The Heat definitely have more years ahead of them. Dallas not looking too good this year, so that might have been their last chance to get one with Dirk. We'll see. And that was just it was a good NBA season. Definitely good to see the Heat just have a great year. And like I said, baseball didn't disappoint at all. And let's talk about some timber. I know we're moving ahead, but Braves looked like they had the wild card wrapped up all year. Phillies in the same division had the division wrapped up. Braves had the wild card. They had a 9-game lead over the Cardinals, who are second place in the wild card. About 30 games left, pretty much the starting of December. Red Sox over there in the AL, same exact situation. The Yankees, it was a lot closer in the divisions. The Yankees and Red Sox kind of back and forth a little bit. But the Red Sox had the wild card lead by 9 games over the Braves. Same day, and both of them did not make the playoffs. What a crazy collapse. Like, two teams came down to the last day. Let's talk about the Rays needing a win. Rays get down 7 runs in the 8th inning, and at the same time, Pablo Vaughn, closer in the Red Sox, was up a run going in to save the game. Little did you know, the Rays were going to come back 7 runs in the 8th inning and a walk-off home run by Evan Longoria to win the game, sending the Rays to at least a playoff game and a playoff game to get into the playoffs. And Pablo Vaughn blew the game. Orioles beat them. And the Rays make it in. Braves just had a tough loss. And, yeah, the history was that. Cardinals barely make it in. And, yeah, man, just a crazy finish for the two teams. And, you know, you tend to think, well, what was the meaning of all that? Well, you know what? The Cardinals took advantage of it. They did come back all those games, but it wasn't just to lose in the first round. They came and won both rounds and the World Series. And let's talk about the World Series, first of all. Crazy series. Like I said, we were talking about with Brandon. I had a little money on it. I bet 3 teams. I had the Cardinals, the Brewers, and the Tigers. And with 8 teams in, all 3 of my teams won the first round. So there's 4 teams left, the other team being the Rangers. So if any team didn't win it, if the Rangers didn't win it, then I won money. Cardinals had the biggest payout, so I was really rooting for the Cardinals and Rangers, and it ended up being the Rangers and the Cardinals in the World Series. But wow, what a series that was. Rangers looked really good, but the Cardinals kept fighting and kept fighting. Pujols not really having a great World Series, but I believe it was Game 3. He had 5 hits, 3 were home runs. I mean, he had a crazy game. Pretty much cold the rest of the series, but a guy named David Fries, who had 2 ankle surgeries, just a crazy, crazy World Series for him. Already winning the NLCS MVP, and little did he know he'd win the World Series MVP. It was Game 6, 8th inning. No, I'm sorry, it was the 9th inning. Rangers have been winning all game. And they had a 2-run lead in the 9th, 2 outs. And the Cardinals got a 2-run double. A 2-run single, I believe it was. No, that was a 2-run double by Freeze. They scored 2 runs. And then it got down to the 10th. Texas got another 2-run lead down with 2 outs. And 2 on 2nd and 3rd. And I believe it was Lance Berkman who got a single. And then it came down to the last inning, tie game, and this is David Fries. I already played it before, but I'm going to play it again.
Fries hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
man, you heard me talking about it with Brandon, and it really was. We were at the bar and watching the game. I had my own radio show that night, and it ended maybe around the seventh inning. It was not looking good for the Cardinals. It was an elimination game for them. So I was just, I was kind of depressed. Just, I mean, not, you know, I wasn't like crazily depressed, but, you know, I was upset on the show, and I really thought it was over. So I ended the show when it was, you know, at midnight when it was over, and just kept watching it, and wow. I mean, there's always a point in every game when you look at it, and you're like, okay, it's over. So you feel that feelings that you get when you know a team lost, you're just like, all right, well, it's all good. And it happened about two or three times in that game, and all three times it was overcame by a great comeback. So just a crazy, crazy game. And Cardinals won, and they took care of game seven. And they did. And it was just a great game for them. And they won a World Series. Good thing they did. Pujols' contract up, and he is now not a Cardinal. He's an Angel. Tony La Russa retired. So you're looking at a brand new team this year. But looking at 2011, they had a great year. And MLB, they're not going to disappoint this year. In 2012, at least, it's going to be great. Marlins are looking good. They're a new team. And I can't wait. Christmas time, my father got me 20-game season ticket plan, two seats. So that'll be a lot of fun. I also got opening day tickets, so I can't wait. And we are playing those World Series Cardinals on April 4th. So I'm looking forward to that. And we have a new and improved team. The team we had last year was actually pretty good, a young team, and they're only going to get better, healthier now that Hanley and JJ are back. And we now have Jose Reyes, Mark Burley to join along with us. So that was good. And just really quick, my stat leaders are up for last year. How did everybody do? Miguel Cabrera had the best average in all of baseball. But RBIs, getting to it in just 1 second. Matt Kemp led Major League Baseball in RBIs with 126. Home runs, it was Jose Bautista with 43 home runs. Talk about Curtis Granderson, though, and what he did. Just a crazy year for him. I picked him sixth in my fantasy draft. Curtis Granderson had an outstanding year, leading the AL in RBIs, one above his own teammate, actually, Robinson Cano, with 119 RBIs. He killed everybody in runs. He had 136 runs, which was 15 above the next. And home runs, he was second. He was two behind Jose Bautista. Curtis Granderson, the center fielder, had just an outstanding year last year, and I really give him a lot of props. And on the other side, I just want to give real quick props to Matt Kemp and what he did, almost winning the Triple Crown. He finished first in home runs, 39 home runs. RBIs, he also finished first. He had 126 RBIs. And it was just the average that he needed to get the Triple Crown. And it just fell short. He actually finished third, 13 points behind Jose Reyes. Ryan Braun also second. Matt Kemp finished third. So two guys coming out of nowhere finishing a great year in baseball. So let's kick it off now with my last segment. We've got about 20 minutes left, and I'm going to talk about football now. And 2011 was a crazy year in football. And like I said before, there was two lockouts. Let me really quick talk about that. Two lockouts in sports this year. The first one was football. And it's a scary thing for someone like me. I kind of know what it's about, but I've never experienced it before, and it's hard to really – you know, every year you're expecting football, you know, you're expecting basketball and baseball. You know, you don't think about not having it. So I was in a little shock. I was like, well, what the hell, you know, you're not going to have football. But they did. But when there's a lockout, you can't practice. You really can't do anything. So the lockout kind of happened all the way till, you know, preseason's about to start. So, as you can imagine, there was a lot of strange games this year, a lot of surprise teams. And, yeah, man, a lot of surprise teams to start it off. And let's look at the standings right now. Patriots do finish atop the AFC 12-3. Baltimore, Pittsburgh, no surprise there. They're atop the AFC North 11-4. One game to go, still deciding on wild card or first round bye, like they always do. Houston Texans, I'm going to give a shot to them. Great year, but crazy year for them. They had Matt Schaub. That team was on fire. But injuries are just coming at the worst time for them. Still can't get Andre Johnson fully healthy. He might be ready for the playoffs. But let's talk about the quarterback situation. Matt Schaub, been their quarterback for years, and they're finally having a great year, and bam, he gets hurt. Matt Leinart comes in, mediocre quarterback, but good enough, I thought, that with the team that they had, they would still have a shot for the Super Bowl. And he gets hurt. Not even a game goes by, he gets hurt. So then you bring in T.J. Yates, and he's now been the quarterback. They dropped two straight, one against the Colts. So just don't really know what to say about that. But I picked him to win the Super Bowl. Then that happens, so I don't know about that anymore. But they're making the playoffs, first time ever, so congrats to them. And what about the AFC West? Really, I want to say unimportant. I mean, the best team has 8 wins. Not a crazy division, but you know what? It's a crazy finish. And how about Tim Tebow? Too much talk about him, I know. Not a Pro Bowl player, but you know what? He's an exciting player. And what he brings to the NFL is something we don't see. You know, I've seen people that can run, you know, a 4.2 and a 40-yard dash. I've seen a quarterback throw 5,000 yards. But I haven't seen a guy come back in games like he has. It's just brought a whole new element to the football. It's been exciting. So thank you, Tim Tebow, for doing that for me. It's not your fault that you get talked about 24-7 whenever you win a game. But you know what? I enjoy watching you play. And let's talk about a similar division. The NFC is 2-8-7 teams as well. That also coming down to the final game, but the two teams up top playing each other, so we'll see how that finishes off. NFC North, let's talk about the Green Bay Packers. Scaring me a little bit. Had 14 wins so far, 14-1. I thought they were going to go undefeated, but thank you to the Kansas City Chiefs for knocking them off, and the 1972 Dolphins can live another year being the only undefeated team in NFL history. Detroit Lions, like I said, getting their first playoff berth in a long time. 10-5. Congrats to them. New Orleans Saints are a strange team, but it took them a while to get their bearings straight. New Orleans losing to 3 teams this year. First game of the year, the Packers. But how about the other 2 games that they lost? Losing to the Buccaneers and losing to the Rams. 2 of the worst teams in football the Saints lost to. But I still consider them an elite team. They lost to those guys a while ago. They've been nothing but winning. 7 straight wins for them. And I look for them to have a big playoff run with Drew Brees, who is now officially the all-time single-season passing leader, thanks to last week's 10-yard pass to Darren Sproles in the end zone, passing Dan Marino. So good job to him. He deserves it. He's a great quarterback. And how about the 49ers? Another great story over there in the NFC West. 12-3, same players, just great coach. Harbaugh coming in, just doing amazing things. Their defense is outstanding, only giving up 1 rushing touchdown all year, and that was to last week's Seattle Seahawks and Marshawn Lynch. But can't say enough about that team. Defensively, they had this division wrapped up by Thanksgiving. It was crazy. But Seattle, Arizona, also in that division, are out of the playoffs, but they had a good shot at making it. They both had a great run, but the Rams, lonely Rams, 2-13, having a shot at the first pick of the draft. So we'll see how that goes. And now, really quick, before I get into my top 11 plays of the season for the NFL, how's everything going to get into the playoffs? And get to that real quick. Obviously, in the NFC, the only thing really decided on making it to the playoffs is the NFC East game showdown, the Dallas Cowboys and the Giants. Just going to watch it Sunday night. We'll see what happens with that. Winner goes to the playoffs in the 4th seed and hosts the number 5 seed. And loser sits on the couch and watches that game. So we will see what happens. I think the Giants will win. They are a better team, but they both have the same record, so they can't be that much different, huh? But who's in the hunt for the AFC? That sixth wild card seed will go to anybody. Bengals currently have a one-game lead over everybody at 9-6. Raiders, Titans, Jets all have a shot. Raiders' best shot is making the AFC West division title. Needing a win on a Broncos loss doesn't seem too difficult there. But if they win, they still can make it, even if Denver wins. Got to make that wild card spot. Bengals have to play the Ravens, and if they can beat them, they're in. If not, which is possible, then the Titans have a shot to make it. So the Titans win against the Texans, they are in if Bengals lose. And if they lose, then the Raiders, if they win and the Broncos win, then the Broncos are going to be in the playoffs and the Raiders will make the wild card. But if one of those teams loses, if the Raiders and the Broncos, if one of them loses, they're out of the playoffs. The winner of those two make it to the AFC West. Unless they both lose, then Denver makes it. But if one of them loses and the Titans lose to the Texans and the Ravens beat the Bengals, then the Jets, if they can beat Miami, will be the sixth seed in the playoffs, but they have the worst chance. So we'll see what happens with that. A lot of football going on tomorrow. And just so you know, the NFL pregame show kicks off tomorrow at noon. Join me with the Zen Man for an hour, maybe an hour, I think. I might do an hour tomorrow of sports talk. Without further ado, I would love to kick it off with my top 11 plays of the NFL season. And let's start it off now with number 11, and this is Devin Hester.
What a punt by Malone. All the way back to the 18. But another good return by Hester. Crossing the 40, and again it's Malone who had a hand on him, couldn't get him out of bounds, and Hester will take it the distance.
Yeah, the Bears have kind of fallen off the map, but a lot of injuries happening, obviously, with Forte and Cutler. But Devin Hester has been a bright part of that season. He is now the all-time NFL punt leader, punt return touchdown leader of the NFL history. So that's great for him. And here's a great play, a very important and clutch play. This is Joe Flacco and Torrey Smith. Ravens, Steelers. Monday Night Football. What a great game. Here it is.
Just wide right. Reed wide left. Flacco, again, protected well. To the end zone, he goes, and it's caught for the touchdown by Torrey Smith. And there's a flag down at the two-yard line. With defensive interference, that will hold up, and with 8 seconds left, the Ravens will conclude a 92-yard drive with a touchdown.
Yep, that was their second win against the Steelers, making them great chances to make the playoffs and to really take the division. Steelers now, no tiebreaker. So Ravens have a good shot of being in the first round bye because of that win. But one more game to go. If my predictions come true, they actually will not win. Hopefully the Bengals beat them to get in the playoffs, but we'll see what happens. Let's kick it off with my number 9 play of the NFL season. Let's talk about Cam Newton. This is his first year. Haven't talked too much about him. Obviously a great year. And this is the first game and his first touchdown of his young career.
On the third down, here comes the blitz. Newton puts it up. He's got a man. And he completes it. Steve Smith is going all the way. Touchdown, Carolina. 77 yards. Cam Newton's first touchdown pass of the NFL.
Cam Newton, I could do a whole show about him, what he's done. Breaking so many records this year. First game, he broke, you know, the most passing yards in the first game as a rookie. Second game, he had the most passing yards in the first two games as a rookie. Game three, he had the fastest play at 1,000 yards. He just passed pace of Peyton Manning for the all-time rookie rushing yards leader. He already has the most touchdowns as a rookie. Just almost so many records. It's just crazy. And a guy that played really one full year in college, winning a Heisman, a championship, and now performing at such a high level as a rookie. He's going to be great. So good job, Cam Newton. Here is my number 8 play. This is the Houston Texans, and this is Jacoby Jones.
20. Job rolling right. Job throwing, has a wide open Jacoby Jones, and he has a lot of room. Jacoby Jones goes all the way on the first play of the game.
Yeah, it was a great play. How often does a first play of the game end up being an 80-yard touchdown? That was kind of a good start for the Houston Texans, and it showed they had a great year, and they're in the playoffs. And this is one of my favorite plays. This is play 7. This is really one of my favorite plays of the year. And this is Reggie Bush and what he did against the Bills 2 weeks ago. 203 rushing yards. He had 128 rushing yards up to this, 127 rushing yards with about 3 or 4 minutes left. All he needed was a big breakout run for 200 yards. I don't know if he got it, but let's see if he did.
Play is the fullback and Reggie Bush with a big hole, hurdling a defender, and there he goes! And the dagger for the Miami Dolphins. Reggie
Bush, 76-yard run, 203 rushing yards on the day. He's one of 4 quarter rushing backs to gain over 200 yards this season. The other 3, LeGarrette Blount, Chris Johnson, and Chris Beanie Wells. So good for them. And you don't really put Reggie Bush in that category. How does a guy who gets questioned for being on every down back go for 23 yards? It just doesn't happen that often for anybody, let alone a guy like that. But let's kick it in my number 6 play. This is the most exciting wide receiver I've seen in a long time. And this is a great play that he had. This is Victor Cruz. And he did not make it to the Pro Bowl this year. Just didn't really understand that. Second most receiving yards in the NFC, third most in the NFL, over 1,300 receiving yards, and he had a bunch on this play.
Manning on 32, and the pass is caught for a first down, and Victor Cruz breaks free into Eagles territory, and he's still going. Victor Cruz is in for the touchdown, 74 yards.
Yeah, just a guy that came out of nowhere, and the beautiful salsa dance of Victor Cruz happens after every touchdown. And let's talk about another great wide receiver, one that did one better. Well, let's talk about two better. He was actually the first in the NFL in receiving yards, none other than Wes Welker. Going back to the first game of the NFL season against the Dolphins, here it is.
And that right there. And that's a head-scratcher from that close, from a half yard out.
Low percentage throw as well, Mike. And Henny's got to give his receiver a chance.
There's Brady out of the gun from the half-yard line. Why not? To Wes Welker. Wes Welker pulling away, and he ties an NFL record with a 99-yard touchdown.
Oh, my.
How many guys throw it out of their end zone in an empty backfield?
As Don Meredith said when Tony Dorsett did it, 99 yards and a half.
Yeah, that's crazy. The guy is so fast, and what a great wide receiver he turned out to be. Him and Tom Brady just couldn't be more in sync than ever. Any two quarterback wide receiver combination I've ever seen in NFL history. So that's my number 5 play of the year. Number 4 goes to the Denver Broncos and Matt Prater. I give Tim Tebow a lot of credit. If it wasn't for him, they wouldn't have been in this position. But if it wasn't for Matt Prater in the same game, they wouldn't have been in this position either. Matt Prater hitting a 59-yard field goal to end regulation, bringing them to overtime. And then Matt Prater, again, saving Tim Tebow all year long. And this is Matt Prater in overtime against the Chicago Bears.
From the left hash. Matt Prater from 51 yards out for the win. The kick is good.
Just a good year for him. He didn't actually make it to the Pro Bowl. I think he's an alternate. Sebastian Janikowski doing one better. But none of that is my 4th best play. This is one of my favorite. I think this is my favorite play, but I'm going to put it 3rd on my list. Colts getting their first win of the year. And none other than Donald Brown, saved the game for him. Here they are at the 20-yard line with about 6 minutes left, up by seven.
As a quarterback in the NFL where he's actually played in the game and thrown a pass.
Donald Brown breaking free initially. And Brown off to the races. Donald Brown down the sideline. He's gone. Touchdown, Indianapolis. No flag.
You know, I know you listened to it, but if you would have seen that play, just outstanding. What a play for Donald Brown, backup running back as it is, and saving the game for the Colts. They get one win. Now, this is the second best play. I know people want to say this is first. It is pretty damn good, but I'm going to put it as number two because I think that I'm on play really meant a lot just for how it happened. And this could have gone either way. I didn't want to be like everybody else and put this play at number one. But, you know, you can all debate. This is how I have it. And here it is. This is Jerome Simpson doing the flip.
And to have that kind of foot quickness and that good vision.
And the other thing he is durable. He has averaged more carries per game than any back in the NFL over the last 3.5 years. Wide open, and a flick into the end zone by Jerome Simpson. Oh, goodness.
I'm not going to explain it too much. You guys already know how that one ended. A flip in the end zone over a defender. A leap over him is crazy enough. A hurdle is fun to watch, and that was the ultimate hurdle. Let's get into my last play. This is the number one play in my mind in the 2011 season. For the Arizona Cardinals, Patrick Peterson kicking a punt return 99 yards to win the game in overtime.
Good high kick. Peterson looks around. Backpedals, takes it at the two. Trying to get outside. Turns it upfield. Patrick Peterson gets by the punter. Peterson may go all the way. He will. Patrick Peterson wins it for the Cardinals. The incredible rookie, Patrick Peterson, with his third punt return for a touchdown this season. That one, 99 yards.
Yep, that was a crazy play. And with that, I'm going to leave you guys 2 minutes left, and I'm going to wrap it up. That was my NFL wrap. That was my sports wrap-up of 2011. Just a quick show. I'm glad I had a few callers. And thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Brandon. And thank you, Angus, for calling in and making the show. And I just want you guys really quick to join me tomorrow morning at 12 o'clock. I will have the NFL, Southernmost NFL pregame show. One last pregame show before the regular season ends. Got a great games of football. Just watch it. It'll be exciting. A lot of teams in the AFC can make it. And make sure you watch Sunday Night Football tomorrow. Should be a really, really good game. Very meaningful. Join me Thursday night for the Southernmost Sports Wrap at 11 o'clock. And join Captain Frank and Dredd Tuesday nights from, I believe, 10 to 11 with Dredd Sports Talk. And with that, I'm going to say Happy New Year's, everybody. Hope 2011 will still stay in your mind next year. It's a great year. But let's hope 2012 is better. And with that, everybody be safe. Thank you for joining me on this great evening. And with that, I'm going to say good night. Be safe. And again, Happy New Year's. Thank you.
You're listening to Ship to Shore Radio.